Take your Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to start in reading in verse 1. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after those days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they laid down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived that his spirit, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. And that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you, Dearly Father, use the message that you've given me. Dearly Father, I pray that you guide my thoughts, guide my words. Dearly Father, if I shared my thoughts and my words, I'd be wasting these folks' time. Dearly Father, I pray that you just use me however you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Stretchers have always meant something different to me. I've called them beds, cots, stretchers, gurneys. Either way, they're an item used to carry someone from safety or carry someone to safety or definitive care. All throughout history, stretchers have been used to carry the sick, wounded, or impaired to medical help. And many times a stretcher is used to carry an individual to medical help where no other device or vehicle can be used. This is one of the stretchers that we use for our veteran service. This is a military stretcher. And I'll never forget one time I was working as an EMT on an ambulance and in another state, and we got a call for a vehicle accident. And this particular accident, there was something happened and the vehicle had ran off the road, hit an embankment. It actually launched the vehicle up in the air and way out into the field. And I'll never forget, it was a serious accident. We had to park our ambulance along the road. And one of the first things we did was, we went out there with our bags and tried to assist, but ultimately we had to get our stretcher out there so we could transport the individual from the vehicle out to the road. And it was a bad enough accident where we ended up calling for air support. And never forget, we first walked up to the vehicle and we looked in and we didn't see anybody. Come to find out, this individual was tucked in the back seat of the pickup truck. And we had a hard time getting him out. He had to be extricated by the fire department. And the fire department brought our stretcher up to us, and it took quite a few men because there was a ditch, a little bit of water, and then the field, and it was out to this vehicle. Helicopter landed, and then was the fun part about taking the stretcher from the field with somebody on it through the field, through the mud. Everybody was caked in mud from top to bottom, and we took the stretcher through the field, down the embankment, through the water, up the embankment, and then over to the helicopter. And so, here's the thing is that all throughout history, all throughout American history, and even in Bible histories, we see cots were used as a way of getting people to definitive care. And the thing about it is that here we have four people. Imagine this. Here we have If you go back to Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, here you have, he entered the Capernaum, and here it was noised that he was in the house. And you always hear the saying, well, Aaron's in the house, you know. And anyways, but the thing about it is imagine this. Here was Jesus in the house. And it was noised around. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that people were gossiping. They were talking about Jesus being in the house. And imagine the fact, here's Jesus. He comes and he's preaching and he's teaching the gospel. And crowds are gathering around. I don't know if they were gathering around to hear the gospel or just to see what he was going to do next. But either way, the gospel is being spread. You know what? People were getting saved. And you know what? The thing about it is that lives were being changed. The lame was made to walk. Just imagine all that Christ was doing. The lame were walking around. The blind could now see. The dead are living again. And even the winds and waves obey the voice of this one called Jesus. And imagine the news that spread around. Hey, what is this man going to do next? Who is he going to heal? Hey, I wonder if it's so-and-so. I wonder if it's so-and-so. But here's the thing is, you know what? Everyone was talking. But I want you to look. There was four men that did more than talking. I'll be honest with you, in churches across America, people are willing to talk about just about anything. People are willing to talk about the lost. People are willing to talk about, hey, somebody needs to go and do this and so. Bless God, we've got a need in our church and somebody should go. But here's the thing is you have four men here in a story. You have four men that decided they were going to be stretcher bearers. Not pallbearers. They were going to be stretcher bearers. Thing about it is tonight, the title of my sermon is, God is looking for some stretcher bearers. God is looking for some stretcher bearers. These four people, we don't know their names. We don't know how old they were. We don't know if they were well-to-do or if they were in poverty. We don't know if they were tall. We don't know if they were short. We don't know if they were ugly like Brother Aaron. All we know is there was four men that were willing to be stretcher bearers. We don't know if they themselves had heartaches. We don't know if they themselves had illnesses. We don't know if they were healthy. We don't know if they're sick. All we knew about these four men was that they were willing to be stretcher bearers. That we don't know how long that they had had faith in this one called Jesus. We don't know if they just heard and they were lost, or we don't know if they were deacons in a church. We don't know if they were Sunday school teachers. We don't know anything about these four men except for the fact that they were willing to go. They were concerned about their sick friend, and they believed that this one called Jesus was able to meet that need. They were burdened enough to go. The thing about it is that when people do nothing, men die in their sins. Today, most concern is left for pastors these days. I'll be honest with you, we need some people all across America. We need people here in Bucyrus that are concerned about the sick and the dying. We need, God is looking for some stretcher bearers. Where are all the Sunday school teachers tonight? Where are all the bus drivers? Where are all the helpers in ministry for the aged? Where are all the helpers in the other ministries for that matter? Where are all the choir members? Where are all the helpers and where are all the ministry leaders? The helpers to ministry leaders so they can do more. Where are all the workers for the big days? Where are all the workers for Sunday, for VBS? Where are all the, here's the thing is we're blessed here. We've got a lot of folks that are willing to serve. But I'll be honest with you, God is looking for some stretcher bearers. People that are concerned about the lost and dying. People that are concerned people out in Bucyrus need to go where the Word of God is being preached. They need to go and hear the gospel. They need to go how to live a successful Christian life. Here's the thing is, it's not preached anywhere else in Bucyrus. Listen, it's the Word of God that's going to change lives. And I'll be honest with you, you know what? We need some people that are willing to be stretcher bearers. But too many times all across America, the common sense is the pastor can do it. Or else it doesn't really need done. We're willing to talk about it. Are we willing to do it? You know, I'll be honest with you. In Acts, at chapter 8 and verse 4, for sake of time, I won't turn there. But that wasn't so in the early church. The early church, they rallied together and decided, you know what? They were going to do something. They were going to have a burden. You know, all believers are to minister. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, the Bible says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Hey, listen, we're all to get a burden for the lost. We're all to do something. We're all to be stretcher bearers, to carry the lost, to carry the sick, to carry the... Here's the thing is, the church is to be a spiritual hospital. And the thing about it is when I was working on the ambulance, ultimately that stretcher had one purpose, is to get the individual that was sick, injured, dying, or had an illness to definitive care. I'll be honest with you, the definitive care that the world needs is right here in this book. The definitive care that we as Christians need is right here in this book. I'll be honest with you, it doesn't matter if we're lost, it doesn't matter if we're saved, it doesn't matter if we're right with God, it doesn't matter if we're away from God, it doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for 50 years, or 5 years, or 5 minutes, we all need definitive care found in this book right here. And here's the thing is, you know what? Here we have 4 men that we're willing to say, you know what? I will be a stretcher bearer. Now, verse 4. Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they laid down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Imagine the approach to their house. Imagine these 4 men as they approach this house. Here was Jesus of Nazareth preaching inside. I don't know how big the house was. All I got, you know what? All we know is that, imagine this. These 4 men deciding that this sick of the palsy man laying on a stretcher, maybe it was similar to this, maybe it wasn't. And the crowd was compassed around the room. And the thing about it is they couldn't get in. I wonder how many of us, if we were had one corner of that stretcher, would walk and say, "Well, there's just no way in. Poor guy's going to die." Or would we have been like this and decide that, you know what, we're going to overcome some obstacles? Imagine the approach to the house with a friend in the bed, and the house was too crowded to get in. There will always be obstacles to winning people to Christ. I guarantee it. If you don't believe that, try and go soul winning. There always is going to be an obstacle. If you don't believe that, try and teach a Sunday school class. If you don't believe that, try and work in a ministry. Try and do something for God. I guarantee you, there will always be an obstacle to seeing souls saved and lives changed. Here's the thing is, help with a VBS. Help with the veterans service. Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. Every time there's a big day, every time God's going to do something big, you know what? You can just count on it. Devil's going to fight it. And whether it's the car breaking down, or whether it's the water heater breaking, or whatever's there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be somebody that gets sick. There's going to be somebody that goes on vacation. There's going to be other things that happen. And the thing about it is that, listen, there are going to be obstacles, but are we going to be the stretcher bearer that says, you know what, it's just too hard, we can't overcome this, and we're going to set down the cot, or we're going to look up and see that there's always a way around those obstacles? God always provides a way, but here's the thing is, we got to look up. Too many times we look down, we get discouraged, we think that God can't handle it, we think that God, it took God by surprise. But listen, if we look up, there's always a way for escape. Here's the thing is, 4 men looked up and found a solution. You always find a solution looking up. And few solutions come when we're defeated and down. We always have to look up. What obstacles are we willing to overcome to bring folks to the spiritual hospital right here on Marion and Beale called Calvary Baptist Church? Who is willing to drive somebody to church? Who is willing to invite somebody and try and overcome the obstacles that come up to keep that person out of church? Who is willing to teach a Sunday school class? Who is willing to help out with whatever comes in mind? Who is willing to compel them to come in? We need to realize that there are obstacles to bringing folks in. Try and imagine what it would be like if you were a visitor. They say that the first 15 minutes on a first impression make all the difference on whether or not a visitor walks in and comes back, or whether they walk in and never darken the door again. Here's the thing, is I remember in Bible college, they used to tell us, listen, imagine yourself as a visitor walking through the door. One of the things I like to do is when we're on vacation, going to church. There was a church on the way to Dayton, Ohio that we stopped at one time on vacation. We walked inside the door, and I don't know if you remember or not, I'm sure you do. We were bombarded with people shaking our hands. They were shaking our hands. Hey, let me find you, help you find a seat, and let me do this, and let me do that. And the thing about it is you know what? My wife and I walked away from that church thinking, you know what? That was one of the most friendly churches I've ever been a part of. But you know what it was? Is somebody decided they were going to envision themselves as a visitor and say, what kind of obstacles would that person have to overcome when they come in? And here's the thing is that just think about what they see and what they feel and what they hear. We want folks to come to get saved, join the church and get involved. But here's the thing is we're not willing to eliminate the obstacles that might come in when that visitor walks through the door. I think we all are of the census, you know what? We want our church to grow. We want people from Bucyrus to come in and be a part. We want them. But here's the thing is, unfortunately, we are talking about the lost. And here's the thing is, if they were in a right relationship with God, they'd already be here. And so here's the thing is, we've got to envision ourselves as a visitor and say, what obstacles can we overcome? See, sometimes we as mature Christians, we expect a lost man or woman to not stumble over the things that we overcome. Here's the thing is, when's the last time that we've walked up to a visitor and shake their hand and said, "How? You know what? We're so glad that you came." When's the last time we escorted a visitor to a seat? When's the last time we gave them a Bible so that they would have one, or shared with them, or maybe sat with them so that they wouldn't feel alone? Here's the thing is, imagine yourself as a visitor walking through. What obstacles are we willing to overcome? Here's the thing is, God is looking for some stretcher bearers. God is looking for some people that say, hey, listen, we have Bucyrus that's lost and dying and going to hell. We have in Bucyrus not only is lost people, they're also backslidden people. Here's the thing is, if they were on a right relationship with God, they'd be right here in this auditorium, would be full. And we'd have to use the balcony, and we'd have to use the lobby, and we'd have to use the basement. Wouldn't that be an awesome problem to have? But here's the thing is too many times we fail to see the obstacles. We fail to remove the obstacles. But here's the thing is, God is looking for some stretcher bearers. Sometimes the obstacles can provide an opportunity. The roof provided a route to get their friends to Jesus. I guarantee you this was not costly. Or this was costly. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to repair a roof, but you know what? You're going to sink a few thousand into it. I don't know what kind of a cost it was back then. But here's the thing is, I wonder what cost we are willing to pay to make sure that our church is healthy, that our church grows. See, here's the thing is, if we lose our burden, we find ourselves not willing to pay the cost and break the roof. You know, it reminds me of there was an individual that I used to work with. We called him the cot Nazi. And here's the thing is, this individual, we'd get done with the call, and he was a paramedic, and you'd always make the stretcher after the call, and the sheet had to be tucked in a certain fashion. And then the seat belt had to be buckled, and the strap had to curl around and get looped in a special fashion. And the rails couldn't be up. They had to be down. And the head of the bed had to be up at a certain angle, and the pillow had to be a certain way. And the blanket had to be a certain way on the stretcher, and the towel had to be across the pillow in a certain fashion. But the thing about it is the cot had to be perfect. But then when the tones went out and we got a call, he got upset. And you know what? And I'd scratch my head thinking, wait a minute, time out a little bit. Isn't that caught for us to put people on? Isn't our job as folks on an ambulance to put people on that stretcher and take them to care? So why are you getting upset? The thing about it is what is the purpose of the cot? Why are we employed? Well, here's the thing is, what is the purpose of the church? Why do we gather? What are we willing to sacrifice to fulfill the purpose that the Lord and Savior commands us to accomplish? Thing about it is, the Bible says we're supposed to go on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Hey, bless God, if we start worrying about the cot and how it's made and say, hey, listen, we got to keep it nice. And I tell you what, nobody better bloody up my cot. The thing about it is, hey, bless God, we're here for a purpose. We're here for a goal. We're here to be stretcher bearers. We're here to actually take the lost and dying and bring them in and compel them to join the family of God. We're trying to disciple so that people grow in the nurture and the admonition of God. Hey, listen, folks, God is calling people to be stretcher bearers. And the thing about it is, as a church that fails to be stretcher bearers, turns out to be pall bearers. All across America, churches are closing their doors. They're deciding that, you know what, they're not going to be stretcher bearers. And what happens is they ended up being enrolled in a pallbearer position. And now the thing about it is what is our purpose? Here's the thing is, towards the end, you see Mark chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go that way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Here's the thing is, when Jesus spoke, the thing about it is things happen. Four had faith when they came. Five had faith when they left. I'll be honest with you, a lack of faith will stop a church or a ministry dead in their tracks. Churches all across America, like I said, are closing their doors from a lack of faith. Do you believe that Jesus can save and break down even the hardest of hearts? Do you believe that a little bus kid can one day grow up to preach a pastor school of 10,000? Do you believe that God can build a church if we do what He tells us to? Do you believe that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and you can be that good man? If the answer is no, I'll be honest with you, we need to pack up our things and prepare to vacate. We might as well do what happens in Michigan a lot, is a photo studio moves in and they like to take wedding pictures in a church that has closed the doors. But the thing about it is imagine the joy of seeing this man sick of the palsy grab his bed and just start strutting out the door. I don't know how he walked, but I tell you what, if I was sick of the palsy, I'd be grabbing that thing and I'd be doing the strut, you know? Hey, check this out every step of the way, you know? Hey, look what Jesus can do. Hey, the Bible says they're praising the Lord. I don't know how much shouting was going on, but hey, listen, hopefully it's more than in a Baptist church, amen? And here's the thing is, you know what? Hey, he took up his bed and he walked. Imagine the joy of those four stretcher bearers. Imagine the four people that said, you know what? Hey, I'm so glad I broke the roof. Hey, I'm so glad I carried this man. Hey, I'm so glad I had the burden. I'll be honest with you. When we get the burden, when we get the faith, when we decide that we're going to be stretcher bearers, hey, listen, God can do some amazing things. You know what? More than we can ever imagine. And one day, when we have the faith and we have the courage to go do it, and we go and we decide that we're going to be stretcher bearers, one day we're going to look back and say, hey, bless God, that's the best time of my life. Hey, listen, check out that guy. You know what? God was able to use me to change his life. Hey, check out that person. Hey, when he got saved, bless God, God saved him out of a world of sin. Hey, check out that person. Hey, look at what God's doing with him. Hey, listen, he led his soul to Christ. I tell you what, God is looking for some stretcher bearers. But listen, if we don't have the faith, if we don't have the courage to go, if all we're willing to do is like what they said in verse 1, it's just, you know what? Everybody was talking. But the thing about it is listen, we need some folks tonight that would decide, bless God, I'm going to be a stretcher bearer rather than a pall bearer. Imagine the joy of these four folks. Imagine the joy of knowing that a bus kid accepted Christ because you brought them. Imagine the joy when a family that you invited starts coming to church and gets on fire for God because of the ministry that you were a part of in this church. Imagine the joy of that visitor that came and felt welcome because you made sure that every obstacle that Satan threw at them so that they'd be run off, you removed, and that person is now a vital part of this church. God is looking for some stretcher bearers. God's not
not looking for some pew sitters. God's looking for some stretcher bearers. God's not looking for a busybody. God's looking for some stretcher bearers. God's not looking for a gossip or a negative, faithless Christian. God is looking for some stretcher bearers. God is looking for some stretcher bearers that have a burden and that believe that He can meet the needs of our city. God is looking for some stretcher bearers that are willing to remove every obstacle to make it happen. And let me tell you, just like in verse 12, I guarantee you, if we decide that we're going to be those stretcher bearers, we'll say like this: we never saw it on this fashion. I'll be honest with you. You want to see something truly amazing? You decide to do what God tells you to do. You decide that, you know what, I will be that stretcher bearer. Too many times, Christians and churches all across America, they're not willing to be a stretcher bearer. And they're surprised to find themselves being a pallbearer. But I guarantee you, our God is a live God. Our God is a powerful God. You want to see some souls changed? You want to see some lives changed? You can't do it in the flesh. You got to do it in His power. You got to be totally yielded over to God. And you have to be like these four men. Get a burden for someone. Decide to go. Decide that you're going to let no obstacle get in the way. And decide that, bless God, you're going to see Him do something great. Let's pray. Dear Father, pray that You make me a stretcher bearer and not a pallbearer. Heavenly Father, this message is a very powerful, convicting message. Heavenly Father, it's something You gave me. And I pray that You help us to act on this tonight. So many folks are dying and going to hell. So many folks need You. Heavenly Father, You're the only one that can do it. I pray that You use our church. I pray that You use me. Pastor.